As we begin to look at chapter 3, what we find is that if you are a child of God, our life belongs to Him. Our life should reflect His life. When Jesus is our life will change. Our life will be different. Our faith will have meaning and our lives will have purpose. That's why we have to put to death those things that we read about in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. We have to put these things to death. And so, but we must move in a direction of pleasing God rather than ourselves. We, as long as we live in a fallen world, we will struggle with these issues. And the last part of verse 5 tells us that these things amount to idolatry. When we reject the true God of the Bible, we make up one of our own imaginations. We make our desires and our appetites and our lusts. In other words, whatever we put ahead of God becomes our God. We left the old life because it does not get us where we want to go. When you are raised with Christ, you seek Him. You set your mind on Him. You understand that secretly your life is hid with Him. And so when we get to verse number 6, in verse number 6, we're going to find what Paul does. Paul begins to cite some goals there in chapter 6. Now, notice what Paul says. He says, "For which thing said the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." And so we find that the goal of life is the flesh, and we left the old life because it does not get us anywhere. And so the old way of life, it leads to destruction. It separates us from God. It opens us up to being subject to the wrath of God. The old way of life had nothing good for us. It used us. It tossed us aside. The things that listed in verse 5 are to be part of the old life. This is a reason for us to put sin to death in our lives, because our new direction is to walk with God. When we sin, it is because we are doing what our flesh wants instead of what God wants. When we are immersed in the Christ, we are fully saved. Our life then is about reflecting that position with Christ. And then when you look at verse 7, what Paul does is that Paul contrasts the present spirit of the Christian life with the former spirit. Notice what he says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, "Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And so we find here that again, there's a transformation that ought to take place. And then when you get to verse 8 and 9, it deals with the issue of attitude. Because we lay aside the old life, we need to have a new attitude. Notice what he says. He said, "But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, saying that you put off the old man with his deeds." Now notice that we are told that we are in need of putting some old attitudes away. To put aside means to take off. like taking off clothing. We are to disrobe from these sinful attitudes. Each of these attitudes, if left unchecked, will build upon one another. Watch the how it goes. Anger is a deep smoldering bitterness. Unchecked, it leads to wrath, which is a deep determined anger that manifests itself in outbursts of anger. Unchecked, this leads to malice, which is being bent on causing injury to another, either physically or to their reputation. All of these things can lead to slander and abusive speech. If you notice what's going on in our world today with the protesting that's going on, there are those that are protesting peacefully, but then there are those who are out to destroy. They are destroying property. They are destroying stores. They are destroying individuals. Why? Because of what Paul is dealing with when he tells them this is what anger leads to. It leads to bitterness if it's unchecked. It leads to wrath. It leads to malice. It leads to causing injury, and all of these things lead to slander and abusive speech, and we need to rid ourselves of these things. There are many Christians who still to this day struggle with these attitudes. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." It's easy for us to focus on the evils of verse 5 and forget about the evils in verse number 8. I believe the issues of attitude in verse 8 may be more difficult for us to deal with because we can always rationalize our actions. They made me mad. See, bad attitudes leads to bad actions. In verse number 9, encourages us not to lie to one another. When we harbor bad things in the heart, they will come out in our actions. When you struggle with anger issues, quit sweeping it under the carpet and quit rationalizing your anger. There is no justification for the Christian to live a life in anger. When you struggle with anger issues, because bad attitude will lead to bad action. And Christians, there is no justification for Christians to live a life in anger. So the question comes, do you really think God will bless you if you refuse to acknowledge the sin of anger, malice, wrath, and abusive speech? Our attitude toward others need to be Christ-like. We are called and obligated to treat others in a Christ-like manner, even if they do not deserve it. We have tossed aside the old self with its evil practices. The new attitude is the one Jesus has toward us. In verse number 10, notice what he says. "And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." We are to have a new purpose. If you want to change, you need a change of purpose for your life. We are called to be renewed to a true knowledge of Christ. And we cannot be renewed to a true knowledge of him if we do not know anything about him. Many of the world's problems come from a lack of knowledge concerning God. Our ignorance of God and his word holds us back on the transformation process. We cannot be transformed into an image we do not know. So learning about God is exciting. It should be exciting, and it's transforming. A true knowledge of Christ will lead us to a new life. by attaining knowledge of Christ and his will, our spiritual being is being changed into the likeness of Jesus. We learn to feel, act, and think like Christ. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our new purpose is to be transformed into the image of Jesus. And so the question, what is the purpose for your life? What is the purpose for my life? Well, the answer is, it is to be transformed into the image of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then in verse 11, what Paul does is he takes them back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 and 28. He said, wherefore in Colossians 3 and verse 11, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Satanians, born nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now notice what he says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 and verse number 28. He said, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither born nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so we have to understand that the only thing that matters is Christ. When you are clothed with Christ, you are called to wear some special clothing. And so in our next lesson, we want to look at what are some of these special clothing that we are to wear since we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, since our lives belong to him, our lives reflect his life, and our life will change and will be different. Our faith will have meaning, and our lives will have purpose.